There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is a WTOP original podcast.
Previously on Target USA, in just 3 weeks in October.
The world has changed dramatically.
In Congress.
The office of Speaker of the House declared vacant.
Ukraine loses Western support.
A fianco della Palestina!
Israel is at war.
A massacre in Israel, war in Gaza, spies taking advantage of it. Crossroads of a crisis. Coming up in this episode, Russian spies take advantage of the chaos in the U.S.
The FBI started disseminating a special warning to Orthodox communities in the United States.
Andrei Soldatov, a Russian investigative journalist, joins us with new details on Crossroads of a Crisis, Part 2. That's coming up in this episode of Target USA. From WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. America has a target on its back. And on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm J.J. Green. In the last 6 months, there's been an awful lot of chaos around the world. There have been conflicts that have broken out in West Africa, in Niger. There's a conflict in Sudan. There's another ongoing one. The big one that we've been talking about for more than a year and some time is in Ukraine. Then the situation in Gaza and Israel has happened. What's taken place while the world has been focused on these conflicts, what's taken place is shocking. According to Andrei Soldatov and numerous other sources, Russian spies have tried to take advantage of it by concocting a plan to try to recruit people from within the Orthodox Church, which, mind you, is not a new thing, but they're trying to recruit people from the Orthodox Church. Andrei Soldatov, an investigative journalist, joins us on this program to talk about it. But he starts us off talking about his situation. He has been targeted by the Russian government as well.
Yes, last year I was put on the wanted list of the Russian authorities, and I know that the criminal investigation was launched by the investigative committee, but it started with a report of the FSB. So I know for a fact that it was started by the FSB. And the case is still under investigation, which means that the Russian security services have all legal pretext to keep operation against me alive, so they can do whatever they want. Also it means that I cannot travel to certain countries which are still on friendly terms with the Russian security services.
What do you think they want? Why do they have you on this list? What's behind this?
Well, I think it's not only about me. Of course, I'm not the only Russian journalist in exile who is prosecuted now by the Kremlin. I think it reflects the Kremlin's and the Russian security services paranoia about the threat posed by political immigration. And I think we spoke about this topic before, but it is an extremely important thing for the Russian security services and their mindset. They really believe that the political regime in the country is very fragile, so it needs to be protected by all means. And one of the biggest threats is posed by political immigrants. Why? Because we all remember 1917, the Russian Revolution, and they believe that this revolution was started by Vladimir Lenin, who was a political immigrant. Of course, this picture is too simple, but it is exactly the picture they have in their mind.
Yeah, it is. It is exactly as you say. Well, thank you for, again, coming and updating us on that situation. And we hope that you and Irina Borogan, your partner, are both safe and will remain safe. Speaking of which, you both just wrote a piece called Putin's Useful Priests. And the subtitle is The Russian Orthodox Church and the Kremlin's Hidden Influence Campaign in the West. What is that hidden influence campaign? What's it all about?
Well, we all know that the connection between the Russian Orthodox Church and the Russian security and intelligence agencies have been close for a very long time. But it is the very first time we learned that the FBI started disseminating a special warning to Orthodox communities in the United States. And I'm talking not only about the Russian Orthodox community, but for instance, the Greek Orthodox communities, basically trying to warn that these communities, that the Russian intelligence agencies are working really hard trying to penetrate these communities, recruit people, and approach them and infiltrate basically these communities in the United States.
That's pretty shocking. But it shouldn't be. I mean, it shouldn't be shocking, but it is. And the reason that, so what do they think they can gain by doing this, Andre?
Well, we need to understand that 2022 was a disastrous year for Russian intelligence agencies for many reasons. But one of them is that many European countries, specifically in Europe, expelled lots of Russian diplomats, and it is a traditional cover for Russian spies. So Russian intelligence agencies lost a lot in 2022. And now they need to be very inventive in trying to substitute for what they lost. And we've been seeing that they are getting more and more inventive throughout this year, 2023. For instance, never before Russian intelligence agencies used sons of Russian oligarchs to spy for them. And now we see that. We see that sons of Russian officials, top-level officials, have been used in Russian spy operations. Or we see that they're trying to recruit more and more in the most recent wave of Russian immigration. And of course, we are talking about many, many people who are now either trying to leave Russia or already left. And the FSB trying, and not only the FSB, but SVR and Russian military intelligence are trying really hard to penetrate these communities because it is a way for them to replace intelligence positions they lost last year. The church is one of the organizations which was always quite close to the Russian security services. It started many years ago, but with Putin and under Putin, this relationship became really close, and they helped each other, especially when we have a big crisis. And now it is the biggest crisis Vladimir Putin has ever faced.
So recently, I spent some time in Poland and Ukraine, and I noticed while in Poland that there was a large number of refugees that Russian intelligence tried to recruit to go into Poland to try to sabotage the transportation network that was bringing weapons into Ukraine. And the people they tried to recruit had absolutely no experience based on what I learned from conversations with Polish officials and security officials. They had absolutely no experience in that kind of spy and in that world. And I'm wondering, and you're probably aware of that, I'm probably wondering, do you think that they could possibly be successful trying to recruit people from within the church? Do you think these people might have skills, or are they just simply trying to recruit anybody? Are they desperate to just get anyone to be eyes and ears for them?
Well, to be honest, Russian intelligence agencies began behaving like they were in a time of war, when you do not actually think of the cost of your operations. You just need to get things done. And that started even before the full-scale invasion. But now they are in a war, and they completely disregard what might happen to the people they recruit. They just need to recreate the networks they lost because of all these expulsions of the last year. And they're getting quite desperate, but also I think it reflects the mentality specifically of the Russian military intelligence. They believe that the most important thing is to conduct an operation. If the agents might be caught and imprisoned because of this operation, it's a problem.
Well, so have you seen any evidence anecdotally or otherwise that this Orthodox Church operation that is underway in the U.S., that it's bearing any fruit?
The FBI and its warning provided the name of one particular individual. His name is Dmitry Petrovsky, and he was a member of the Church's Foreign Relations Department. And we know that for a fact. He also was not very careful about what he was doing. The FBI apparently knows about his activities because some months ago, actually a year ago, he was stopped at the border trying to enter the United States. And he had with him a laptop with lots of files. With personal information on prominent members of the Orthodox community in the United States. What is more, he has a document in his laptop describing the relationships between the Russian Orthodox Church and Russian intelligence agencies, which is an absolutely amazing thing. I mean, I still cannot understand why he decided to bring such a sensitive document with him to the United States. But it looks like he was never very careful. And for instance, on his avatar in the social media, he has a symbol of the Russian military intelligence. So it looks like he was almost boasting about his connections within the Russian intelligence agencies. After we published our story, and even before that, we asked for comments, the Russian Orthodox Church. And they immediately after the publication, they sent us a letter saying, well, this guy, he was fired some months ago. For me, it's a clear sign that the church trying to distance themselves from such people. But of course, we understand that Petrovsky is hardly the only person who was working in close connection with the Russian security services and intelligence agencies, and not the only one who was sent to the United States.
I spoke with one of your country people the other day, Natalia Arno, who we were talking about her situation because she was poisoned a little earlier in the year. And yes, she lived in the U.S. and she was basically giving a very stark, simple, direct, and urgent warning to the expat community in the U.S. and not just there, but where you live and everywhere else, that Russian security services are coming after you. And they're coming after everyone that they feel is an enemy or is a problem right now, especially considering this war situation. Where do you think their biggest target base is?
Well, I think that Natalia is absolutely right. Unfortunately, her case is not the only case we have this year. There were some other attempts of attacking Russian political emigres. It's mostly happening in Europe. I think just for logistical reasons, it's easier to do these kind of things in Europe than in the United States. But it doesn't mean that we can completely rule out the possibility that something could be done also in the United States. I think the biggest problem and the biggest thing for the Russian security services and intelligence agencies is, well, the kind of training they are getting, as far as I know, from my sources, it's always based on three things. In every crisis, in every situation, the Russian spies, they are looking for three things. The leader, who is in charge of the organization, money. They are trying to follow the money. And they're always trying to identify a link to someone from outside. For instance, some hostile forces like, I don't know, the United States, Great Britain, European security or intelligence agencies. So they always are looking for these three things. So people, that means that people who are very prominent in the Russian political immigrant community might be the targets because they could be considered the leaders. People who are in charge of collecting funds for the activities of Russian activists or trying to provide help to refugees, including Ukrainian refugees, also might be a target because they have something to do with money. And people who are in contact with, for instance, the Congress in the United States or the Parliament here in London, they also could be considered a target because they provide a link in the vocabulary of the Russian security services.
Andrei, this is a very serious situation in the United States right now, in part because there is an election coming soon. Donald Trump is running in that election, and there are those who believe Donald Trump is a close ally of Vladimir Putin's and of the Kremlin. This is not a political show, and you're not into political whatever. You just deal with investigations, the hard, dirty truth about what's happening out there in the intelligence and security world, but it's impossible to separate the concerns that are facing the American community right now because of the election and because of the concerns that we recently discovered that there is a revival of the same kind of troll activity that was taking place before the 2016 election, although it's different now because most folks are aware of it and the FBI and everybody else are very much aware of it. But as you look at all of the things that are happening, one, with this Orthodox Church situation, with the poisonings, and the other types of ways in which the Russian intelligence services are trying to find out this information because they've lost their eyes and ears in so many different places. What's the message from you to Americans, not just expats from Russia, but all Americans? What's the message from you for them?
Well, I think what we need to understand and what we need to remember that in this war between Russia and Ukraine, the Russian security services and the Kremlin now understand very clearly that they cannot achieve any victory on the battlefield. That is absolutely clear. What they are looking for, they are looking for some outside factor which might dramatically change the situation on the battlefield and in this war. And they have big expectations of the US elections. They think that this outside factor might come from the United States, and that might change the game. And that is why we do not see, and we haven't seen any attempts to launch any kind of offensive operations right now in Ukraine. What the Russian security services and the Russian army, first of all, are doing in Ukraine, they're digging deeper and deeper, they're defending their positions against the Ukrainian counteroffensive, because what they do, they are actually waiting and seeing what might happen in Europe and in the United States. So for them, it is a key factor, and we just need to remember that.
So when you look at what happened with Robert Fico in Slovakia over the weekend, what does that tell you?
It tells me that while the Kremlin is probably getting a bit more optimistic, because their biggest hopes are that the situation in the United States might change the game, but also that this universal support of Ukraine in Europe might collapse at some point. And they're hoping for that. They are counting on that at some point. It's not very strategic for them, because you cannot have this kind of gameplay for your war, but for Putin, the situation in Ukraine and the war has been always a very emotional issue. For many Russian generals, it is the same thing. Once again, they do not believe that they could achieve a victory on the battlefield. So they are looking for some things, some signs that the situation might change. And of course, they understand that the European and American support for the war in Ukraine and for, not for the war for, of Ukraine, but for the Ukrainian forces is absolutely crucial.
So a couple more things. What is it that can be done? Because you're an expert on this, and we've talked about the strengths and the weaknesses of Russian intelligence for a couple of years now. What is it? What's the weakest link in the Russian intelligence operation that you've outlined that's going on everywhere? They have operatives, and certainly what they're trying to do specifically with the church here in the U.S. and other places and these other operations. What's the weakest link in that whole thing right now?
Well, I think it is the sense of urgency the Russian spies have right now. They are in a time of a war, so they need to act really quickly. And sometimes it means, in many cases it means, that they just should conduct their operations no matter what. That means that we could burn some precious sources they have developed before the war started. And that that actually means that it could provide some opportunities for counterintelligence agencies in the United States and in Europe. It would be easy for them now to identify Russian activities because the Russian spies are so desperate.
Okay. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you think is important as it relates to the article that you wrote and anything else you've written since then, or anything that has to do with this situation with Russian intelligence and the desperation you're talking about right now?
I think one thing is which is important is that we can have this picture that Russian spies are incompetent and desperate, and we can get a completely wrong perception that these people are not really dangerous. Actually, the real situation is the complete opposite. Precisely for that reason, that they're so desperate and not really competent, they're extremely dangerous. They are getting more and more adventurous and more brutal. Even before the war started, they already felt that operations like assassinations were justified. And now we have the war, which means that all kinds of brutal actions, assassinations, subversive activities are considered absolutely legal and okay in the Kremlin and by the Russian intelligence agencies. And we need to be ready for that.
Crossroads of a Crisis, Part 2. That was Andrei Soldatov, a Russian investigative journalist who has been himself under pressure. The Russian government is hunting for him. Coming up in our next episode, Crossroads of a Crisis, Part 3. A look at the chaos in Israel and Gaza. The Israeli Defense Forces say they, for weeks, have been urging people in many different ways to move.
One is we dropped more than 1.5 million flyers to civilians in the northern part of the Strip, instructing them to move.
This is Major Libby Weiss.
We've made more and sent more than 5 million phone calls and text messages instructing people to move.
And she says they haven't stopped there.
We've made 20,000 personal phone calls to civilians telling them to move.
And there's evidence people are moving.
And we've seen people move. At this stage, more than 900,000.
But even in the South, there's danger there as well. That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email.
I'm JJ Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.